This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to www.ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, I'm here with Ian Harris, the Chief Executive of WSET. How are you, Ian?
I'm good, thank you. Nice to see you.
What we're going to do is just cover off a bit about WSET, where you come from and where you're going in the future. When did you join the WSET?
I joined in April 2002, so I've been here just over 4 years.
Okay, but they've been going for quite a while, haven't they?
Yep, WSET was founded in 1969 as the organisation to train people who worked in the British wine and spirit trade. So we've been going 37 years.
37, that's pretty good going. And are you a profit organisation or...?
No, we're an educational charity. So when we were set up in 1969, we were set up by four organisations who were concerned with the wine and spirit industry. So the Vintners Company and the Worshipful Company of Distillers, and also the Institute of Masters of Wine and the Wine and Spirit Association of Great Britain. And we were set up as an educational charity. So we're not for profit, but we still obviously need to make a surplus to continue investing in making sure that our qualifications are up to date and highly sought after.
Is it the trade that you mainly focus in on?
It is still, the majority of people who come on our course are still connected in some way with the trade. So they may be buyers, they may be people who work at the senior end of the trade, or they may be someone who just works as a shelf stacker or a barman in a pub. When we were set up, we were entirely trade, and then in 1991 our charter was changed so that consumers were allowed on our courses, and now somewhere between 20-25% of people who do our courses throughout the world are consumers as opposed to people who work in the trade.
In our wine tasting business, one of the pre-requirements before anybody to join us is to have done WSET courses. You've got a range of different courses. Do you want to just quickly touch on what they are?
Yeah, sure. At the lower level, we introduced a course in 2003, just after I joined, called the Foundation Certificate in Wine. And all our qualifications fit into the National Qualifications Framework and are accredited by the government's Qualifications and Curriculum Authority. So we launched the Foundation qualification back in 2003, and it's a one-day course, so it's 6 hours of study followed by a multiple-choice exam. So that's the lowest level. The next level up is the Intermediate Certificate, and that can be done in either 3 consecutive days or day release for 3 days, 1 day a week, or can be spread over 8 evening classes. Next one up from that is the Advanced Certificate, and that's at level 3 within the national framework. And then at the top there is Diploma, and Diploma takes up to 2 years. We recommend that people take 2 years over it. It's around 120 hours of classroom study, but we recommend that people spend at least treble that, so another 360 hours of home study, including going to tastings, etc. We've also introduced in the last 3 years a specific spirits qualification called the Professional Certificate in Spirits, which is at the same level as the Intermediate Certificate, but focuses 100% on spirits.
Okay, and at the top end of the wine education in the UK is the Master of Wines. Are they the people who set you up?
They were one of the founding fathers, yes, because the Master of Wine qualification, as you quite rightly point out, is a very, very serious, very senior qualification, and there are only 250 of them in the world. And they identified back in the 1960s that they needed to have a training program at the lower level to lead people up to Master of Wine. So we have a very close relationship with the Institute of Masters of Wine. We're not the same organization. They are a membership organization. We are an educational charity. But the diploma qualification, which is our top qualification, is a prerequisite for anyone going on to the Master of Wine study program.
And when you came in 4 years ago, you changed things around quite a bit. What was the main reason for changing the course around?
Well, when I joined in 2002, I'm the first chief executive who's come from within the wine and spirit industry to run the WSET. And my background is predominantly it started off in wines and then moved into the spirit side because I was marketing and commercial director for Seagram UK. Seagram were at that time the fourth biggest spirits company in the world. Seagram were then taken over by Diageo and Pernod Ricard. Mm-hmm. And I'd had a lot of contact with the Wine and Spirit Education Trust because I'd done their qualifications in the late 70s, early 80s. And I'd also been a lecturer on the subject of brandy from 1990 to 2001. So I had good contact with the WSET. And when I left Seagram, when we were taken over, the job of chief executive was up for grabs, and I applied for it. I was very keen to get it for obvious reasons. And the reason why we made the changes were really based on the fact that a lot of people in the trade were questioning the relevance of WSET qualifications, questioning whether they were actually being kept up to date and were required by senior people in the industry. So I described it as the trust being in a downward spiral. So people were questioning the relevance, therefore fewer and fewer students were coming on the courses, and therefore there was less and less money to invest in making the courses more robust and more up to date. So my main aim when I joined the WSET in 2002 was just to stop this downward spiral and turn it into an upward spiral by investing in changing the qualifications to bring them up to date. And we had a major exercise, particularly on the diploma, where we completely revamped the syllabus. We revamped the assessment method, because up till then, for the diploma, it was a once a year exam across the whole syllabus. And if you happened to have a cold that day, or you missed your bus, anything like that, and you couldn't taste, then you had to wait another year to do a closed book exam. So the major changes we made on the diploma were to introduce more coursework assignments as opposed to closed book exams, but also to enable both our school here in London, but also other centres throughout the world, to run the diploma more often than just once a year. So that was the big change. But we also rewrote the textbooks for the intermediate certificate and the advanced certificate, and brought the syllabuses up to date. And then we introduced, firstly, the foundation certificate, secondly, the professional certificate in spirits, and then in the last year, we've introduced a qualification called the International Higher Certificate, which is a way for countries where English isn't the first language, where they can do the majority of the advanced certificate, but in their own language, as opposed to doing it in English.
Part of the revamp was to fit it within the UK government's qualifications structure, but you also run courses in the US.
We do, yeah.
How does it fit in with the UK versus US?
Well, I mean, basically, our qualifications are all accredited by the government's qualifications and curriculum authority, and that's important for people who work in the UK trade, because when they get a WSET qualification, they know they're getting an accredited qualification which they can use towards other qualifications if they so wish. In America, and indeed in the other countries we're in, because we're in 35 different countries now, of which America's the biggest. Now, for them, the accreditation isn't quite so important, but what is important for the US as well as for other markets is that our qualifications are very strictly monitored, they're quality controlled, all the exams are set and marked under the strictest control guidelines, and therefore they know when they're getting a WSET qualification anywhere in the world that they're getting a qualification which is worth something. It's not just something you can buy off the shelf in the way that you can
buy a diploma off the internet.
Exactly. I've been offered a lot of money for a diploma, but I cannot be corrupted like that. You cannot buy a WSET qualification.
You said earlier before the interview that you trained about 17,000 people, and about 25% of those were consumer, 20 to 25%.
They are, yeah. 17,000 people a year take a WSET qualification somewhere in the world, and 35 countries where we're in. And still, just over half of those are in the UK. The other 40% are in international markets. And different international markets have a different skew. In America, for example, it's more like 40% of the people who take a WSET qualification who are consumers as opposed to trade. But globally, it's around 20 to 25% of people who take any of our qualifications, even right up to diploma level, who are consumers as opposed to people who work in the industry.
If people behind the counter serving the wine know more about wine, then they can upsell and help consumers get a better wine. Do you think that's part of the reason why Majestic, their average price point is a lot higher than the rest of the trade? You know, I think it's almost policy that their staff does WSET courses.
I think you're right. And Tim Howe, who's the Managing Director of Majestic, is a great fan of WSET qualifications, and you're quite right. Their policy is to put people through WSET qualifications very soon after they've recruited, and they do recruit at the graduate level. So Majestic do recruit students at the graduate level, so they already have a certain level of intelligence and also the ability to learn. And they have, at the moment, over 80 people on a WSET diploma course, and Tim Howe has gone on record as saying that it's the keystone of the Majestic business. And if you look at the statistics
of the average price of a bottle of wine bought through Majestic versus the average price of a bottle of wine bought in other retailers, it is significantly higher. So, yes, we believe that it's because their staff are well educated, and Majestic themselves are very committed to putting people and continue to put people through WSET qualifications.
Excellent. One of the things that I've noticed that you guys do is you do quite a few consumer events. The one that caught my attention was this new event you've run called Wine Dating. Not quite educating the trade. What's going on there?
Well, that's it's rather caught the imagination. We run, it's one of our staff actually, it's her brainchild, Nicola Greaves, and Nicola runs the membership body called the Institute of Wines and Spirits, which is our membership body for diploma graduates. And Nicola came up with this idea, having run a similar event for her friends.
It's based on the concept of speed dating. So you have 10 girls, 10 guys, and 10 different wines, and they have 5 minutes each, and the bell rings, and then they move around, they move on to the different wine and a different partner. It is educational, because it's amazing the number of people who, having been on a wine dating evening, then come on one of our qualification courses or come on to one of our master classes and seminars. So yes, it's a bit of fun, but everything that we do from a consumer perspective, whether it's wine dating, whether it's other games that we run for individuals or for companies, everything is based around people leaving here with more wine knowledge than they had when they walked through the door a few hours earlier.
Sure. I always say the best way to learn about wine is to drink it and with friends and have some fun.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean,
what sort of wines are you drinking at home, Ian?
I've got a fairly eclectic palate, having been in the wine trade myself for 30-odd years. I still go back to my roots when it comes to particularly red wines. I lived in Bordeaux for a year, and that's where I first got interested in wine when I was a student. So I do have a real love of Bordeaux when I can afford it, particularly Saint-Emilion. But when it comes to white wines, I'm afraid I'm a real sucker for New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
Get on you, mate. You drink a fair bit of New Zealand stuff. Have you ever tried any of the English wines?
I have, yeah. When I joined the trade in the late 70s, English wine was a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
Some wine merchants had a couple of English wines on. But I'm delighted that English wine has, in terms of quality, really raised its game in the last 5 years. And I think the way that companies like Knighttimber have really taken the sparkling wine market by storm, I think it's fantastic for the country. We've got a perfectly good climate, we've got great soil, there's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't produce classic grape varieties like Pinot Noir in the UK, and companies like Knighttimber have done a great job. In terms of still wines, I was delighted to see the back of the Müller Thurgau grape varieties, which were predominant in the late 70s, early 80s. And I've tasted some lovely wines. I was privileged to be invited to attend the UK Vineyards Association awards dinner 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I tasted some lovely wines, particularly some wines from Chapel Down, which I enjoyed.
First English wine I ever had was at a WSET course, Camel Valley Bacchus, which was quite nice.
Yes, obviously, being based in the UK, we can't give English wines a huge amount of time on our courses, but we're very keen to make sure that people understand that England is no longer a joke when it comes to wine production. We produce some fantastic wines in England. There are some really good winemakers here. And obviously we're limited in terms of quantity, so we're never going to be able to compete on the world stage with the bigger producing countries. But I'm delighted to see that the quality has come rocketing up in terms of not just white wines and sparkling wines, but red wines as well,
and long may that continue.
Okay, and do you have a wine tip for us, Ian?
The one thing that annoys me intensely when I go into a restaurant or I go to people's houses is how you can waste a fantastic wine on having second-class glassware. You don't have to necessarily buy the most expensive glasses, but for God's sake, serve wine, whether it's red, white, young or old, in a decent-sized glass, because it's only that way that you'll get to release all the aromas and you'll really get enjoyment. You can waste such good wine by serving it in stupid little small glasses.
Yeah. So
find the biggest glass you can find. Don't fill it very full, obviously. Swish it round and you'll enjoy it 10 times more than if you serve it in a small glass.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Ian.
Thanks.